Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have. Life can be pretty damn hard. And without a healthy mind, it's even harder. Check out online therapy with BetterHelp.com/toast and be on your way to a little more ease. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Toast.
I mean, we were only missing for one day.
Feels like an eternity.
It does feel like an eternity. It's been so long since I saw you. How was your trip?
Thank you for asking.
I mean, I couldn't start on any other foot. It's the K-sized elephant in the room.
My trip was incredible.
Like, it was a teeny tiny elephant.
It was so meaningful. Like, it really was true downtime, quality time with K. Flew in Thursday, excuse me, stayed till Sunday, and it was just KKK, KKK, spending the entire weekend with my gorgeous, beautiful, precious angel niece, Kaylor. She's gotten so big since we've last seen her, like, it's disgusting. it's actually offensive how, like, the nerve she has to grow without us.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, but it was also, like, really sad. Like, the whole time there was this, like, cloud, at least for me, over the weekend, knowing, like, I'm going to have to say goodbye to Olivia and to Kaylor, you know, in 24 hours and 36 hours. So that was really hard. It was really, I'm not going to lie, like, it wasn't all sunshine in Florida. Like, it was...
There were some clouds.
Cover me in sunshine. It was cloudy, like, for sure.
Damn. But you did it?
I did it. We had an amazing time. Liv's house looks so good. She, of course, said, you know, when the time is right, she's here for a home tour on the Patreon.
Of course. You guys knew that, though.
She wanted me to reiterate to everyone that she misses you. Thank you all for all the wonderful messages you've been sending her, helpful tips on, you know, how to stay cool in Florida, how to get lizards out of your house. Okay, we ordered Benihana, and I opened the door, and literally the biggest lizard ran through the door, and I went screaming through the house. Like, it's just Florida tings.
Florida tings. But I actually have a soft spot in my heart for lizards.
Because your sister is one?
Because I believe that Margot Autry is a lizard reincarnated. And so when I see a lizard, I send a lizard.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like Margot's with me wherever I am. So if you look at it that way, how fun Margot joined the weekend.
No, I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it that way at all. It was fucking traumatizing. But, you know, I swam. I got so unbelievably sunburned, and I only laid out for one day, which is just fabulous, you know?
Did you wear sunscreen?
No, but okay. It was one day in Florida. Like, I'm not at the equator. I'm in Florida.
It was late September, early October.
Right.
Still summer fall. Tings.
Fall.
I guess.
I'm like, my chest is bright fucking red.
That's exciting.
Yeah, because I'm going on a major trip this week, and I was like, didn't want to be pale, and I hate getting a spray tan before a trip because then I can't swim. And,
oh, I love getting a spray tan before a trip.
Then I can't really be myself, you know?
Like,
You know, it limits your mobility.
It having does. Well, you can swim, just not in a chlorine pool, so you just have to make sure everything's, you know, salt water.
Oh, me showing up to someone's house. Is this a chlorine-based pool?
You just got to ask the hard questions. Also, you don't want to get in a chlorine pool because it'll chip your nail polish, too.
Then you can't get a massage. Like, it really limits the things you can do on a vacation.
You can't do those things, like, day one, two, or maybe three. But then after that, you can do those things.
So I guess now would be a good time to tell you guys
that we are off. Okay, so here's the schedule. Shows Monday, Tuesday.
And they're going to be amazing.
Amazing shows. We're in one now, and I think it's going really well.
I think so, too.
And I also need to share the content I consume this weekend.
Me, too.
Because I listened to so many podcasts because we were driving so much. Like, I listened to so much Joe Rogan, and I have so many thoughts. I listened to Amanda Knox on Joe Rogan. You know Amanda Knox.
I didn't know he was... Wait. I didn't know she's doing podcasts now.
Not only is she doing Joe Rogan, she has her own podcast, she explained, and it sounds like really premium.
So I'm not going to lie. I'm not the type of person who's into like murders. Like I don't really, some people like spend all their time thinking about who killed JonBenet, and like I don't even know who's suspicious in the case. So did Amanda Knox do it?
No.
No, okay.
Well, I'm, you know, everybody has their opinions, but like when you're listening to this episode, it's like there's no did she, didn't she? It's like she was completely wrongfully convicted, and now she really spends her life dedicated to like helping those who are wrongfully convicted and like the Innocence Project and stuff like that. So it's not so much like a murder mystery. It's more so like Justice Needs to Be Served podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So interesting. But anyways, back to the schedule.
Monday, Tuesday, we're here and we're amazing.
And we're amazing for you. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we are off because Claudia is going on a vacation. And you know what? She deserves it because she's really been like picking up pregnancy slack.
Wow. Thank you.
She deserves a vacation. And I'm really excited for you to take that break.
Me too. I just absolutely love traveling with Brian. Like it's going to, I mean, Ben's coming too. And I'm excited, of course.
Thruple tings.
But like the first 2 days I'm like spending with Brian and we're just like going to have the best time, even though there's severe weather storms like where we're going. But it'll be an adventure.
Then Monday we are off because it's the holiday. And Tuesday, we will be podcasting together, not in studio.
No.
But we will have a podcast episode.
And then, I didn't even tell you this, Wednesday, special project, big announcement. I think it might behoove you guys to become Patreon members on Wednesday. That's all I'll say.
But it actually behooves you to become Patreon members sooner because we will have content there to get you through the week where we are off. So we're back on podcast Tuesday, back in studio Wednesday.
Yeah. So
I feel really good about it. And you know what? I could use the extra Z's.
No, I know. And to be honest, like I really took this trip because I knew you were pregnant and I knew you could use some time off. And I didn't want you to feel guilty for asking like, you know, I'm not feeling great. Like, can I take a day off? This way I did it for you.
Thank you so much.
So I look like the lazy one when it's actually you, you know?
Except you're like airing me out
It's completely me. I took the trip because I'm so fucking excited to get out of town. I too consumed a lot of content this weekend. I watched SNL, the premiere. I watched Squid Games. Have you heard about Squid Games?
Heard about it.
I feel like Zach would like it. You might like it. Me and Olivia watched it, and then I finished it on the plane. And it was good.
Okay.
So. Like, the end was so bad that, like, I feel like I wasted my time. But I was really enjoying it up until then. And, like, just a different kind of show. I feel like I watched the same iteration of every show. Like, everything I watch is the same.
Yeah.
So it was nice to feel something different.
Yeah, that is nice.
And, of course, I watched Moana. I watched Shrek.
You're not hanging with Kay if you're not watching Moana.
No, we watched Moana so many times. And then I was like, Olivia, please put on something else.
No, and those songs start to live in your head rent-free. And it's not even How Far I'll Go. It's like the opening song.
What can I say except you're welcome? And then I was like, please, please put on something else. So we watched Shrek 2 because Olivia is Michaela doesn't even like it. Like, Olivia is obsessed with that scene at the end.
Hero.
I need a hero. And I'm not going to lie. It was pretty fire. So it was a real medley of content. We'll dive into it in the TV recap. And I did watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and Potomac, which I know you didn't. And normally I would let you slide. But like I need to tell you happened. Like both episodes were fabulous.
No, I was reading last night because we are recording our new episode of The Redheads today. The book we read is A Slow Fire Burning by Paula Hawkins. She's the same author who wrote Girl on the Train. You ever see that movie? Emily Blunt?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see the movie, but I read the book. This is our first thriller.
She's been crazy on the train.
It was my choice, and so I needed to, like, just power read all night, and that left no time for watching TV. I'm sorry, but, you know, my redhead duties, I will not forsake them. You know how important this passion is to me.
How was your weekend? I heard you had a fall fiesta, an autumnal outage.
My was full of fall. I went to Vermont with my friends and Brew.
Did you fall into fall?
I fell hard. I fell hard.
Good. Is the baby okay?
Everything
after
was okay.
After falling so hard? But, okay.
Yeah, no, because all the leaves caught me. It was really, like, I think next weekend, fall is really so short. It's crazy because also, like, the leaves are changing. They're on their way to death.
Yeah, they're like duty brown. Yeah.
No, so, like, the prime leaves, it's really only 2-3 weeks. So I think next weekend is probably perfect fall leaves. But, like, they were a change. And so we had some green. We had some orange, red, yellow. So it was nice.
That's the best.
We did get to see the leaves changing. And on the drive up, there was some leaves changing. And on the drive back, they had changed so much in the 2 days we were gone.
Shocking.
That's how fast it happens.
Wow.
Yeah, so you got to keep your eyes open. So Brew had never really experienced fall tings because Brew came into our lives in late October. So he just had an amazing weekend, as did I. It was so nice to be with friends, be outside, get some fresh air, sit around the fireplace. We made a chili, and by we, you know, it was me. I'm just going to let everyone
head
know.
Head chef
on the chili. Everyone, like, did their part for other things, but I was on chili patrol. And there was not a bite left.
That's such a good feeling. I've never experienced
such
it.
Such a good feeling. Everyone was talking about how, like, the heat was perfect. I found it a little spicy. I was worried about my heartburn, but, like, thank God it wasn't that bad. And it was just... chili season is here, you guys. I ordered meat because I brought the meat with me so that I could eat meat all weekend. And now I have like meat at home. And so I'll be chilified for the next few months.
And you found a recipe that works for you.
I did. I use Half Baked Harvest's white bean turkey chili, which was so good. I've made it twice now. So easy. But I think, you know, I'm going to look for like a beef. I have ground beef now in my freezer. So
can't you just do the same recipe and swap the turkey for beef?
Yeah, but I follow the recipes to a T. That's how I know they'll come out good. So I don't start ad-libbing.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of cook I am.
Can I totally switch gears really quickly?
Sure.
Not that your chili isn't so interesting. Like, and it is.
Number one topic of the day.
No, it is. But you know what was the number one topic of the weekend in like the digital influencer space? And I just want to talk about it because the influencer, you know Champagne and Chanel?
Yeah.
She's a toaster. And so I started following her because she was listening to the toast. And I'm like, oh, she's fabulous. Like, let's see what she got going on. She got married.
Okay, I saw something about this.
It was literally gorgeous. Like, I feel like this many people haven't followed a wedding, like, literally since your wedding.
Oh, my God, I'm on my way.
Jackie, it was so stunning. I don't know if her stories are still up because it was on Saturday.
No, but maybe she has, like, a carousel or something.
And you know what? I feel like I loved the way that she obviously wasn't running her Instagram for the day. Maybe like an assistant was. I loved the way she just like seamlessly was keeping us all updated in real time from the rehearsal dinner to the morning of everyone getting their makeup done, the ceremony. Like we saw it all in real time. And there were so many other influencers there. So there was so much premium content. I think she got married in Austin, Texas.
Yes, I believe that she did.
And she looked gorgeous. Like you'd love to see a toaster thriving.
Oh, wow. So beautiful. And her story, she has a highlight, 10 to 21.
Oh, yeah. So like, wait till you get to the actual party. Like the whole tent was made out of lights. That's the ceremony.
Stunning.
And then this outdoor like clear tent that was like just literally like a snow globe, like lit up with like twinkle lights. It was just gorgeous.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, I look forward to consuming this later.
Like if you're looking for something to do and you're bored, like check out this wedding, Champagne and Chanel, and she's a toaster. And it was just like gorgeous.
That's so exciting. I can't remember the last time I was like living vicariously through a someone's wedding event.
Same. She's just like this gorgeous girl with
and
this
toaster,
gorgeous
so like,
and she's a toaster.
She's hysterical. Everything of the sort.
Amazing taste. Beautiful setting spar. Yeah. It's so hard to find people like that these days.
No, it is. But when you find them,
you got to keep them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was part of the content that I consumed. But I'm really happy to be back. I missed you.
I missed you too. You know what else I consumed?
Taylor missed you.
Ugh, don't. I can't even talk about it. I just can't. Like, I just have to move on. What else I consumed before I left for my trip on Thursday night, I watched What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Oh, wow.
And I've seen it before.
Yeah.
But watching it pregnant, I was just like so hyper-focused.
Which one do you think you are?
So I'm not anyone in particular. And I do think that even though Elizabeth Banks is meant to be like the mess, like she still is quite put together.
Right.
She has the smelly farts. Like,
yeah, no, but I'm the, like, I know I will be the Elizabeth
Banks.
But
like, I think there's tougher, like, she still only had like a belly,
you
know?
Right.
What about the arms?
Right. You know? Everything else.
So it was interesting. I really didn't feel like I was any of them, but I was really enjoying it. It made me emotional at the end, you know, when they all get their bebes. So I really, really enjoyed it. If you're pregnant, I would recommend watching it because it just gets you like excited and just in your feels.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm all caught up. Pretty much it was Kaylor, a little bit of Kaylor, and then at the end I saw some Kaylor. So,
But did you get any Kaylor?
I did, you know what? And I changed her diaper. Like, she was making the biggest duties. I feel like, you know, she's eating good in Florida. She's exercising. She, like, literally, when she was living in New York, she never left her apartment. She had a blister on her big toe because she's just, like, constantly doing the work.
She's doing the most.
I bought her first bike. I, like, wanted to make, you know, be, like, a fun auntie.
Yeah, the auntie who spoils her.
So I got an amazing bike that will last her till she's 5 years old, and you, like, have to change it every year. Like, right now she's obviously not using the pedals, so it has, like, something for her to lay her feet on, and Olivia pushes her. So it's like a stroller. But then it evolves into, like, a real bike when you're 5.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, and she was just such a good fucking girl everywhere she went.
Ugh, queen shit.
Yeah.
Queen shit. Okay. I need to, I don't want to get bogged down, you know? No. So without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
That's true for sure. But I don't know if you can smell my breath from here, but it's so delightfully delicious thanks to my Brush, the best electric toothbrush on the market and today's sponsor. If you are looking to switch over to an electric toothbrush, but you're a little trepidatious because some of them can cost over $200, which is absolutely insane, check out the Brush. It is, in my opinion, the best one, the most affordable one, and the most gorgeous one, hands down. Like, that's a fact. So they have a brush that comes with 6 unique modes that customize your brushing experience. Their battery life lasts 4 weeks of on a Brush, and it comes with a magnetic charging stand and a compact travel case. They also now offer a subscription program, so never forget to change your brush head again. They will ship you a new replacement head every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head. Their design is very sleek. They drop new colors a couple times a year. It's like the biggest drop of the season. I just got a new one. It's like a hunter green. It's everything of the sort. And you ain't living unless you're brushing. So if you've been wanting to switch to an electric toothbrush, this is your sign because this is the official toothbrush of the Morning Toast. And if you want to get $15 off your Brush toothbrush kit and the refill plan, use promo code toast at brush.com/toast. Again, that's promo code toast at brush.com/toast for $15 off.
Thank you, Claudia.
Yes.
Okay, our first story came out right as we wrapped on Thursday, but Portia Williams confirms her exit from Real Housewives of Atlanta after 10 seasons.
This was shocking.
Yes, so she stated, after 10 life-changing, gratifying, incredible years, it is finally time to begin my next chapter. Next season, I will not be returning to the Real Housewives of Atlanta franchise. This was a difficult decision not only to make, but also to come to terms with. It's one I have put a lot of thought into, and because of that, I know it's the right one.
So I feel like this is layered, as so many things are.
Most things are.
First is that this is coming off the heels of Cynthia Bailey's departure. And I feel like when Cynthia left, I was like, it is time. You know, she has been, you know, boring us to tears for the last like 2-3 seasons. And everything is about like her boyfriend. Like, it's just not interesting. And she really doesn't get like deep in it anymore. So for me, that was kind of like a natural thing. You know, with Housewives, we shed and we grow. But with Portia, this to me signals not good for, I worry now, like based on what I know, that Real Housewives of Atlanta might fall into the same kind of situation that Real Housewives of Orange County has found itself in, that Real Housewives of New York has found itself in. You know, you have so many of the same women for so many long, you're one of the OG franchises, and it just gets tired. Yeah. And I really felt like this last season, even with all the drama on the Bachelorette party, Bolo, I still felt like it was so boring.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm worried. I am. I would be lying if I said I wasn't. Oh, then also with Portia, there's a lot of speculation that she's actually getting her own show.
Oh, that's interesting.
Andy commented, like, it's just a pause. Like, she does have this very interesting life. You know, she stole that man's, that woman's fiance, and now they're married. They, like, got married in Vegas. He's, like, super, super rich. She's, like, the happiest she's ever been. I do think we could get a Portia spinoff.
Okay, interesting theory, because other people were saying, like, she probably doesn't want to talk about her relationship on the show at this point, and maybe, like, you know, she's the happiest she's ever been. She just has, like, too much to lose. Like, bow out now instead of having, like, Kenya bring up your man right all the time and starting these rumors.
I know, but, you know, Portia's, like, really never been one to back down or, like,
no, but, like, sometimes in life, like, when it's just you and you're defending yourself and you can take anything. Mm-hmm. But, like, then when you have, like, people behind you that you love, that you want to protect, like, it just changes the game. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to say, like, game over for me. You and it's not even, like, you're backing down. You're growing out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think her priorities have changed. I mean, if she's getting another show, then, you know, this is a moot conversation. It's like, who would turn that down mm-hmm. ever? But if she's not getting another show, it just might signal that, like, she's found something that's worth more to her than all of the opportunities from the show.
Yeah, well, hopefully that would be great. But I do think the spinoff is a Tinsley, possibility.
Like a Tinsley.
Suit, right.
Even though, like,
that didn't work out.
It's a bad example to say.
You know, Real Housewives of Atlanta has had the most spinoffs, I think. Obviously, Don't Be Tardy. And then they do so many specials. Like when Nene got remarried to Greg, they did a special. Candy, when she got married, got a special. They actually have a lot of success with their, like, spin-off type of shows. Obviously, Don't Be Tardy would be the most successful with 8 seasons. But I don't know. I feel like this could be good if this is what's happening with Portia.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the show will absolutely suffer without her. Whether you're a Portia lover or a Portia hater, like, you cannot deny Portia has a broken back from carrying the show for, like, 5 seasons. She's everything of the sort.
And now she'll be missed.
Desperately.
Well, the show must go on. Always curious to see what they do next. But you guys, like, it's a really It's a really rough, dark time as a Housewives fan. I was actually just talking about it with my friends this week.
I completely agree.
I was talking about it with Rebecca, who just watches Housewives for fun. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, this is, like, job stuff. So, no, like,
it's, we're, like, analyzing, deep diving, yeah.
Okay.
You know what I was trying to say. Like, we're, like, researchers.
Yeah. No, like, this is, like, I don't just get to, like, decide, I'm not going to watch, maybe I'll put it off, I'll batch those episodes next week.
Right.
We just watch every night because we're going to recap it on the show. Mm-hmm. So, like, talking to someone who watches for pleasure, though now it's no longer really full of pleasure for her, is really interesting. And she was having the same thoughts that I was having of just, like, this ain't it. And it's a waste of time. It's a waste of brain cells. Maybe, I think for me, it's, like, I'm changing, but also the show is changing. It's not just, like, I'm outgrowing Housewives. It's, like, Housewives is trash. Like, if it was good...
No, Housewives is just in this, like, weird spot where, like, I think that what we're seeing with, like, Salt Lake City and Potomac, like, these early seasons with girls who are still hungry for it and who still, like, make good TV. I don't feel that way about these newer franchises, but I, of course, feel that way about, like, Atlanta, OC, New York, New Jersey. Like, I feel like, for sure, like, Housewives took off in such an unbelievable way, like, was so successful. They had this perfect formula, but, like, so much other reality TV has come and progressed and changed the game. And, like, Housewives is just still doing the same thing they've been doing since 2001. Like,
yeah. I mean, I personally like Potomac and Salt Lake City, but Rebecca was saying, like, she feels this way about Salt Lake City, too. And I was like, I think the vibe, the aesthetics of Salt Lake City, the, like, you know, the snow farm Chemin, like, that just
helps.
Means something to me. So that helps. But, like, and Potomac is better than some of the other franchises, but even still, it's like a lot of, it's just like, it's so formulaic. It's 45 minutes of personal scenes that nobody asked for, and then 15 minutes we have a group dinner with a to be continued. Like, I'm good.
Yes, I agree. I do think that their structure, like when you watch Selling Sunset or like Bling Empire, like you see like how the game has changed. Like the way in which we're making reality TV has changed so much over the last 10 years, and Housewives has not.
Yeah.
And they kind of like invented this space, and I do feel like they're getting left behind. Like there's
No, I don't think so. I think we're pioneers in this thinking.
Yes, yes, yes. Like they're going to be get left behind.
I don't know how people who don't have to watch it are watching it.
Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, when you look at ratings from what they used to be and like what they are now, it's crazy. But that's also just like the decline of cable television.
Yeah.
But I agree. There's something, and this is kind of my very sadly, like, my qualm, is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
With Andy. Like, this is his show, this is his production, and, like, I feel like in the last, like, year or two, he just, like, doesn't care about, like, when he comes to watch Happens Live. Like, he gives it nothing, like...
He would say this is not his show, this is not his production. Whenever someone comes to him about, like, bring back this person or why was this person fired, he will say, like, he's not the executive producer. He's a talent.
He maintains that he is not in charge of casting, but, like, he is the creative director of these shows. Like, I don't think he thinks that it's as good now as it used to be.
Right, no, but I think even if you said he's the creative director, like, I think he washes his hands of all of this. Like, he says over and over, like, this is not his show. This is not my plate. That's really what he says. Yes. That he is
but he
just,
he created
like,
all of them.
Yes, he did. But, like, now, who he is now, like, we can't even say, like, in the beginning, yes, it was him, but like now he's a housewife.
Literally.
He's paid talent by NBC.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who's in charge, but like things need to be shaken up majorly. Like we can't keep doing the same thing. If you watch the first episode of Orange County, it's very similar to the most recent one, like just in terms of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you, and I actually feel that way about all Bravo shows because every single Bravo show is structured that way.
Yeah.
And when there's just so much reality TV out there and you're, like, comparing it, it's not as good.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. I mean, it is what it is. There's crazier things going on in the world than the decline of Housewives.
No, but I do think that Salt Lake City, Potomac, and Beverly Hills, like, are still three very good reality shows. Like, I stand by that. Like, I watched 2 hours of Housewives last night, and I honestly wasn't even really on my phone. They were, like, really good episodes. I love all the Salt Lake City women, and, like, I love and hate all the Potomac women. Like, I feel like...
You're invested.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Our next story, Taylor Swift makes a shocking reveal about her new Red album. Taylor Swift's newest announcement will leave fans tickled pink. The singer took to Twitter Thursday to announce her own rendition of Red will be released a week early, and naturally Swifties everywhere were sent into a frenzy. Now the re-release will be out November 12th, and the release will also include the 4-disc vinyl, according to her tweet. So this is very... un-Taylor Swift.
Of course, behavior. Because everything is planned to a T 10 years in advance. Right. Like, this,
and nothing. She gave us a date. She doesn't, like, either push the date.
She doesn't renege on dates.
She doesn't renege on dates. And the dates are carefully selected from all numbers. The dates in the calendar that could add up to 13 in some way.
So here's what it is. Adele has been putting up billboards all over the country with just the number 30, which is going to be her next album.
Okay.
Adele is coming. The album is called Number 30. That's all we have to live for. And there is a lot of speculation that it's coming out the weekend that Taylor was planning on releasing Red. And, you know, Taylor is, like, very strict about getting number one albums and just, like, numbers, numbers, numbers. And I don't think, like, the two biggest female artists, like, were wanting to compete with each other. I guess, you know, Adele was immovable. Therefore, Taylor was movable.
You really think that's what it is?
Yes. I mean, we'll see. When we find out when 30, Adele's new album, comes out, when we find that out, if it's the date that Red was supposed to come out on, then we will know that that is why she changed the date initially.
But if Adele hadn't announced her album date yet...
Whether you're not getting pulled over, there's the longest siren that won't end. I was trying to scream over it. It won't end. Just let it pass. Like,
yeah, this too shall pass.
I hope everyone's okay.
Okay.
Just wait. It's right behind us.
No, but it's fine. It's not a serious conversation that needs complete silence.
I mean, speak for yourself.
Okay.
Like, offending me right to my face. Can we mute our mics? It's so fucking annoying.
Okay. That was the longest siren of all time.
Like, it was stuck behind our building.
Traffic. Okay. So let's get back to the topic.
Taylor Swift, Adele.
Say Adele's releasing 30. Like, she's looking at the calendar. Who's releasing what when? Like, she chose to release the same day as Taylor's Red.
But I just don't think she cares. Like, you know,
yeah.
She's Adele. This is for Adele. It's like, this is her highly anticipated.
There's
album.
No way it doesn't go number one.
Divorce, like all of this for Taylor Swift. She's releasing the album. She's already released.
She's singing old songs.
And I'm sure it's great. No slight. But, like, obviously, it doesn't matter, but Taylor has a lot of pride in these records because she's going to own them and she wants them to go number one like they did the first time. Like, for her, it's like this whole meaningful thing where Adele is just like her big ass comeback and, like, everyone is going to be, like, living for it. And who the fuck would want to compete with that?
Yeah, I just can't believe that that's really how things go. Also, like, she could have released it. She should have released it in October. It's a fall album.
I mean, the fact that she literally announced it in July, like, for November is disgraceful.
October is a wasteland, aside from Kelly Clarkson's Christmas album. Like, drop it in October. Give the people what they want. It's fucking twisted.
Completely agree. Like, I don't know. I just didn't anticipate her dragging out the re-records for so long because she announced, like, months ago that it would be the November release of Red. And I'm like, so nothing before that? Like, so if it's, like, 6 months lead up for six albums, it's going to take...
3 years.
Right. Like, please, no. Like, yeah. Let's...
Yeah. I totally agree. Anyways.
But there is, like, a lot of speculation about her and the Jonas Brothers. Have you been seeing this?
I saw it from the Snitch, and I'm sorry, but the things that she shared are just not enough for me.
Okay, so really, did you see Nick Jonas's TikTok?
Which one?
So he, like, put up a picture of, like, a Dumois screenshot, which, by the way, was fake because Dumois was like, I never posted this, saying, like, Jonas Brothers ex Taylor Swift pizza emoji. And he was like, well, what is this? And then Joe has been posting a lot of the pizza emoji. The pizza emoji is referenced on Taylor's mood board. It's referenced in the 22 music video. So a lot of people think that there's going to be some sort of Jonas Brothers involvement in 22, the song off of Red. I don't know about you,
okay,
but I'm feeling 22.
I just really...
Which I wouldn't understand, but I'm... If that's... That would just be crazy. That would be like 2013 all over again.
I guess. It just is not that deep for me, but I'm...
Oh, well...
But I'm just... I'm happy that it's deep
for us. Some of us care.
Yeah, no, some care immensely.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there's definitely Jonas Brothers clap coming this way. I do think that the reason why she moved the album is because of Adele, but we'll see.
Okay.
And I'm actually, what I've taken away from the story is I'm hella excited for Adele's album. It's just going to be, it's going to be glorious.
Yeah, no, it really is. And that's exciting. So I got two albums this morning.
Yes, you got two. One.
Exciting. Thank you for that. Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's the next story that's brought to you by Modern Fertility. Did you know that a simple finger prick can unlock tons of insight into your reproductive health? We're talking egg count, menopause timing, if your hormone levels indicate conditions like thyroid disorders or PCOS, all things that are good to know whether or not kids are in your future. And that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a single finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. And traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, but Modern Fertility is getting you the same information at just $159, which is a fraction of the price. And if you go to modernfertility.com/toast, you can get $20 off your test. You'll get insights into your hormone levels, how many eggs you have, other important fertility factors. The results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps. If you want kids today or maybe in the future, clinically sound info for your body can help make the decision that's right for you. And right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast. That means your test will cost only $139 instead of the several hundred or even $1,000+ it could cost at a doctor's office. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast, modernfertility.com/toast.
Thank you, Claudia. When it comes to your fertility, knowledge is power.
Truly.
Our next story, speaking of pop divas, Kelly Clarkson has been awarded her $10.4 million Montana ranch in divorce win. Kelly Clarkson's estranged husband, Brandon Blackstock, has to hand over the keys to their Montana ranch. A judge declared that the property belongs to the 39-year-old talk show host, despite the fact that he has been living there since they split in June 2020. He originally requested that the ranch was marital property and should be shared equally between the two, but the judge disagreed since it was Clarkson who paid the $10.4 million for the property.
Ooh. And you know what they say? Actually, Queen Kelly said it best. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stronger. Just me, myself, and I. What doesn't kill you makes you
stronger.
That's right. This little shit. Every time I get an update on Kelly Clarkson's divorce, I want to stick my elbow deeper into his throat. Like, what a little leech. Get out of her home. Get out of her everything.
Yeah, no, beyond. And I'm judge just so glad is everything. This judge is like, nope, 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 nope.
No, this judge is absolutely everything of the sort. Like, obviously is on our side. You know, like, understands that Kelly Clarkson's like, a queen.
Been a Kelly Clarkson fan since season one of American Idol. Saw everything that she went through, every piece by piece that it took to get her to where she is. And she sees this man coming for the thing she's put her blood, sweat, and tears to. And this judge is like, no.
No, and, like, honestly, we keep talking about how Kelly Clarkson is, like, having this moment. Like, it started, like, a year ago, and now she has The Voice. She's got the Kelly Clarkson Show, which is such a success. Like, every celebrity's been going on it. She's so, like, this, like, warm figure that everyone loves. And for him to, like, be trying to take a piece of that away during... He probably knows how hard she's worked and how many times she's, like, failed and not succeeded. And now it's, like, all paying off. And for him...
Everything's coming up, Kelly.
Yeah, and for
not
someone...
Not Brandon.
For someone you used to, like, love and who knows you so well to be, like, doing this during... I just... It's unforgivable. And I fucking hate this man. And if I ever see him in the streets, like, it's on Brandon Blackstock. It's fucking on.
Yeah, he's really, like, one of the most hated men in America right now.
Literally him and Ryan Laundrie. Like, I fucking hate this man. He's such a... I don't even know. The word is chaza.
Yeah. But so, like, a mooch, a leech.
Leech, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate him. Yeah. A pig.
He is a pig.
And justice for this judge. Like, thank you so much for, you know... serving justice, even though it is your job.
Yes, but sometimes justice is not served.
No, and like...
Even though it is their job.
Divorce proceedings can go on for so long, and they're so tangled, and you can even have a prenup and all these documents, like, and it just doesn't hold up. So the fact that, like, everything is being held up, that's because Queen Kelly has her shit together.
Yeah.
She has the right lawyers. She has the right attorney. She has the right managers. She has it all together.
He was her manager.
No, I mean, like, financial managers. Yeah, and, like, yeah. Attorneys and stuff. Like, she has got it all. But he probably still, you know what's so disgusting about all this? Like, he keeps wanting from her, like, taking her house, the insane alimony. But he also still probably makes money off of her, like, on deals when he was her manager. Like, you commission that until.
Perhaps.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was, like.
Yeah, I don't know.
Still cashing in deals that he was negotiating on her behalf that are still going on. Like,
yeah.
He might have been her manager when she signed the Kelly Clarkson Show.
Yeah.
So he still, like, in perpetuity, might make 10% off of that. until she renegotiates her contract.
Ooh, I can't even think about that.
I know, it would make me sick. But you know what? Like, who's Kelly going to date? Like, let's play that game.
Ugh, I think Kelly's so focused on herself right now.
I know, and her kids and her career. And, like, I feel like Kelly's, like, really one of the rare people who's so fulfilled by her own everything of the sortness.
Yeah.
But if we had to, like, who would we want her with?
Businessman Bo.
Yeah, I kind of like the country businessman Bo. Like, she wasn't actually totally wrong.
Brandon Blackstock is technically a businessman.
No. I'm saying she wasn't totally wrong in, like, her idea of, like, who she should marry. Because, like, that was kind of cute. Like, Reba's stepson, you know, behind the cameras, but, like, businessman, you know, moving things, chicken, making deals.
Yeah, no, because you get to... caught up in everything and then you have too much invested in her success. Needs to be someone with a job that, like, has nothing to do with the industry, like a construction worker, like just a nice, hardworking, yeah, family oriented man.
100%.
That's what I want
to see. One with kids of his own, like a blended family. Then they could watch Blended
and they'll have it all figured out. It's a beautiful movie. If you haven't seen Blended,
it's stunning.
You haven't lived. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
It's really crazy casting shakeup for the show Billions.
I don't care.
No, I think you might care even though you don't watch
it. Is the guy gone? Like the main guy?
Damian Lewis is leaving Billions, which is really crazy because the show is about him.
Is his character going to die or someone's just going to start playing him like nothing's changed?
Unclear. No. I don't think they'll pull like a dynasty with a new character playing him.
I kind of like that. Like, we don't, like, why shake up the whole show because one person decided to leave?
Yeah, I don't know,
like,
what
they're gonna do. Like, on Downton Abbey, they should have done that.
About Matthew? No, that makes it a soap. No.
I like,
because you can have creativity with the storyline, but this does signal the end of the show. I really like the show Billions. Season 6 premieres in January, and Damian Lewis will not be a part of it. He has signed off on Billions after a 5-season run as the alpha male hedge fund billionaire Bobby Axelrod. So this show is over.
I don't know. I wouldn't be so sure. It's a Showtime show, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. When What's-Her-Face left Shameless, it got so much better. Fiona.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean.
No, but like.
And that's a hot take, I think, because she was the fucking worst, but some people liked her. There were so many. They spent the. Tell me if Billions is the same.
Actually.
They spent the whole, like, first, whatever, 7 seasons, like, introducing you to so many characters on Shameless that you ended up loving, and you were like, why are we focused on Fiona? She fucking sucks. Like,
okay,
you loved the other, do they do that? Do you love the other characters?
No. So, okay, right, as it stands, like, Billions, like, this cat and mouse game between Damian Lewis and Paul Giamatti.
Okay.
If anybody should go, it should be Paul Giamatti. Like, I hate his character so fucking much.
But I think Paul Giamatti is one of the best actors of all time.
No, he's too good of an actor.
And he was in Downton Abbey.
He's too good of an actor because I fucking hate him.
He's always playing a villain.
But you know what? In the, like, last few seasons, it's kind of tired. They're either, like, going for each other, trying to destroy each other's lives, or they're teaming up to, like, take someone else down.
Mm-hmm.
But this Variety article says that production is underway with Corey Stoll's character, Mike Prince. I believe that's the person who played Peter Russo in House of Cards. You ever see it?
No.
You haven't seen House of Cards?
No, I don't support Kevin Spacey.
I mean, I feel that. I watched it before I knew, and then I never finished it. Yes, I am correct about that. Mm-hmm. Peter Russo. Justice for him, by the way. That's really important to remember.
By the way, you know what's so crazy? I was just doing, like, a trivia thing. Do you know what the first ever original show on Netflix was?
House of Cards?
Yeah, is that crazy? Like,
it is.
When you just think about how far they've come?
Yes, that is crazy. So anyways, in the new season, Mike Prince, who's played by Corey Stoll, will take center stage alongside Chuck Rhodes. So I guess it'll be like, and in the show,
he
really
has,
yeah, he's been like a billionaire coming up who's really giving Damian Lewis a run for his money. So maybe he successfully ran for his money, and now there's a new head honcho in town. And maybe, like, all you want to see from Damian Lewis is, like, he literally has everything, yet he continues to, like, push the limit, mm-hmm, and push, like, the lines of legality. Just, like, retire.
Be satiated.
Be satiated.
So I started watching Billions on Delta, and they had the first 5 episodes, and it was so fucking good. And then this was when I was on tour, so, like, every time I would get on the plane, I would watch another episode. And then they, like, never added more episodes. So yeah. I was like, I'm done.
That's how I started watching, too, and then I continued watching. It's honestly really good. And that's going to be crazy.
Delta just constantly churning out premium content. Like, the only reason I ever saw 3 Identical Strangers was because Delta had it.
You're lying.
I swear.
Oh, my God. I took the time to watch that.
No, it's literally, like, whoever's in charge of choosing the content for the Delta portal, Delta Studio, I believe it's called, like, kudos to you. I one time watched, like, the best fucking Sam Smith concert of my life on the plane. Like, it was, like, this random, like, thing he filmed, and they had like BBC. Like, it was so fucking good. I was like feeling inspired, crying on the plane.
Oh, how beautiful.
I was crying on the plane yesterday.
Of course you were.
Because I was crying in the Uber. To? Okay, I'll tell you. I was crying in the Uber because I missed Kaylor so much. And then like my Uber driver was really chatty. So I was like, I had to stop crying like so I could like talk.
Would that make you cry more?
Yeah. And then when I got on the plane, like it was all really just like hitting me. And I was putting on my liked songs. And there was like so many Andy Grammer songs. And I was like, fuck. And it was over for me. But you know, with the mask, like no one could really see.
Sometimes you have to let it out. Otherwise, it's just, if you try and stop, it's like, damn.
No, breaks. I know. It was so upsetting.
Damn. I'm sorry. At least you have a nice trip to look forward to.
That's true.
You know.
But I planned so poorly, and I should have just, like, stayed in Florida to, like, then go to the Caribbean. Like, it was so stupid, but that's just me.
Yeah. Okay, you ready for our fifth and final story?
Are you?
Oh.
You don't look ready.
I know, I'm not. Because it's the final story.
It's the final story. Kelly Clarkson is a queen.
Thank you for that. Our fifth and final story
is brought to you by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist where you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is here to help you start living a happier life today. You can join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. So many people have done so that BetterHelp is recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. There's a special offer for the Morning Toast listeners. If you want to get 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/toast for 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/toast.
Thank you, Claudia. Our fifth and final story is some crazy media news that if you're not tuned into, you really should, because it's some of the craziest stuff I've heard.
CMN?
Crazy media news. We don't get it a lot.
No.
But then you hear a story like this and you're like, oh, we should hear about this more. Because it makes a lot of sense. So Aussie Media is not shutting down after all, CEO Carlos Watson says.
What is Aussie Media?
Aussie Media is like one of those just like content sites that's like, have ever gone to Aussie Media unless they were like running
like a .com
unless they were running like ads in the background and trying to get like cheap clicks for their website using like shady third party advertisers.
Okay. OZY.
So it's a website, I believe, that's like a content farm. You know, there are so many of these websites. Some of them are more popular than others.
Yeah, a modern media company. They have podcasts, news, they've gotten many awards. Okay.
Yeah. So last week, an article came out about Aussie Media that pretty much like just showed it for the house of cards that it is. Basically, it started with they were going to be acquired or bought or whatever by Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs was like going through their
financials
and also just like who they are, what they are, what they have, how many listeners, subscribers, everything, readers. And on the call was meant to be a YouTube person high up at YouTube who was going to like attest to the fact that their YouTube is really fucking popping.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that they could show Goldman Sachs, yeah, like our YouTube is really impressive.
Yeah.
And on this call, the person from YouTube, like at the last minute, wants it to be a voice call.
Not as like a Zoom.
Not a Zoom with cameras. And towards the end of the call, they're like, their voice is sort of cutting out as if it's using like a voice changer. And it turns out that someone within the Aussie Media company posed as
a YouTube rep,
and in order to get on the call and like sell through Aussie to Goldman Sachs, like fraud. Uh-huh. And Goldman Sachs like figured it out, and even the email they set up to like loop in the YouTube guy was like a fake email.
Oh my god!
So it started this whole like window into like Aussie Media is lying about like their numbers, their this, and like even with their YouTube channel.
Yes. Well, I wanted to look at their YouTube channel.
They have a few videos that have over 1 million views, but like majority of them don't. The likes to comments ratio is bad.
Have they taken down their YouTube channel? Because I can't find it. And the only thing coming up is everyone talking about the downfall of Aussie Media.
That's so funny.
Inside Aussie Media's downfall. Carlos Watson live.
So All the telltale signs of, like, fuckery. Which, you know what? Like, and I feel like there are so many media companies and just, like, publishers in general
who inflate,
like,
their numbers.
Who inflate their numbers. And it's like, yeah, so he says they have millions of subscribers for their newsletter and all of these things. And, like, you can pay to get emails.
To purchase emails.
To purchase emails. I get so much crapola because mm-hmm. someone stole my information. That doesn't make me a reader of Ozzy.
So much crapola.
So it's really this interesting case study of,
yes,
like,
it is.
Of fucking fraudulence and inflated numbers. And, like, and yes, you know, if you're going to get bought by a big company, like, you're showing some vanity
of
metrics.
Of course you want to show
best foot forward. You're showing impressions over views.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, we know the tricks.
Yeah.
But, like, this was, like, completely fabricated.
No, and that's, like, the weird thing right now about, like, living in the digital age is there's so many companies, like, media companies and just, like, digitally based companies who are so fraudulent and, like, they're valued at, like, $100 million and they literally, like, okay, and I don't know how or why, but, like, their Instagrams and their TikToks and their YouTubes have millions of subscribers and you go to a video and there's 6,000 views. Like,
yeah.
It's so fraudulent and it's so crazy to me that, like, these huge financial institutions like Goldman Sachs, these big, like, banks and whatever, investment, like, hedge funds are, like, spending all this money and, like, just get your intern to look at their Instagram and they'll let you know if this is a fraudulent company
or not. Not even that. Has your intern ever heard of this company?
I never heard of Ozzy Media.
In the article about Ozzy Media, someone was, like, saying, like, they'll tell you how they're everywhere and they're doing everything, but I've actually never encountered Ozzy Media in a natural way.
No, this is the first I'm hearing of
Ozzy. I believe they have something called Ozzy Fest, which is a real thing, and that's, like,
popular,
but
how much were they going to be acquired for?
I don't know.
I bet it was, like, literally $1 billion and no one's ever heard of this company. That's what's so fraudulent about, like, the digital age. And yeah. I think, like, all these banks that are, like, filled with old people just, like, want to be current. They're like, oh, you have a million followers on TikTok, let me buy that from you.
Yeah.
And that just ain't how it works, Goldman.
Yeah,
it ain't how it works, Mr. Sachs.
It's really true. Even, like, so I guess this Carlos Watson, he was, like, gonna do a talk show on the Ozzy YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing ads for it around the city. And,
really?
And there was, like, quotes on the buses that were, like, the biggest show in late night. And I was like, wow, I'm really off because I've never seen this before.
By the way, what I've learned is that pretty much every billboard you see for a TV show is going to call itself, like, the number one show in late night. And that's because in one particular demographic, yes, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver is number one amongst, you know, 27 to 29-year-old men. So everyone is allowed to call themselves legally the number one show because in once with people who can't find the remote, you are number one.
Yeah, like, no, but, like, or even, I think that's even giving them too much credit, like, in one category. Like, if I sit here and say The Morning Toast is the number one show.
It is.
Well, that's, yeah.
Because in our
it
hearts.
Is, because it is, that's, like, not fair.
No, I know what you're saying.
What's, like, a show?
No, say, use the toast example. I know what you're saying.
If I say The Morning Toast is the number one show, we could go run ads and say The Morning Toast is the number one show. And then somewhere on the bottom, it's, like, because someone said that once.
Right.
But, yes, they do. But I was just, like, wow.
Even though, factually, you look on the charts, we're, like, number 11, not number one.
Right.
Still pretty good, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. But, no, if, like, or if at one time we went to number one.
Which, by the way, we've only made it to number two.
Because of Felonious Florida.
Yes, yes! Oh,
fucking,
my God.
Fucking Felonious
when
Florida.
When we, like, were, like, first launching our show, we were at number two in the podcast store, which is unheard of, and there was this other show that launched at the same time, Felonious. And by the way, have you ever heard of Felonious Florida ever after
no,
that?
No, but it was just, like, having a moment.
And we could not beat them.
Yeah, fucking Felonious Florida.
Fucking Felonious Florida.
Anyways, so Carlos Watson, I guess he had said that they were going to, like, you know, after this charade was called for what it was, he said they were going to close. But now on NBC, on the Today Show, he said, we're open for business. This is our Lazarus moment, if you will.
This is so embarrassing. Like,
this is so embarrassing.
People, and isn't it illegal, though?
People are comparing. It's illegal to, like, flood
the YouTube stuff.
Oh, yes. Like, YouTube's now launching an investigation because, like, their security was breached. There was someone pretending to be a high-level
right.
YouTube rep. But also, like, flubbing your numbers like this when you're, like, trying to get...
Right. I remember watching the WeWork documentary, and, like, that was what made the whole thing illegal.
Yes.
The lying about the numbers.
Yes. So people are, like, comparing this to Theranos, which is on trial
Got
right
it.
Now.
Right. Like, there's an element of illegality here, correct?
Yeah. But I also think, like, this is just... one of many.
I think so too.
You know,
when you hear about all these media companies that get bought for billions of dollars and then, like, it's just so fraudulent
and they have, like, no fucking influence, period.
They have no audience. They're literally, like, their only paying customers are people who have literally died. Like,
yeah,
it's It's fraudulent.
It's just like them having, so like I think with Aussie Media what happened is they raised so much money like mm-hmm. under this like fundraising for this idea of Aussie Media, so they had a lot of money to spend and they bought like, I don't want to say they bought like followers and stuff, but you can buy someone's subscriber list. Yeah. That's like really a kosher way of buying, yes, followers.
Yes, legal.
And so it's all just like this house of cards based on all this money that they raised, yet nobody gave a shit about Aussie.
Right. At the end of the day, like, you can raise all the money you want, you can buy all the subscribers you want, but if you don't have an audience, you don't have an audience, and no amount of money can fix that.
Yeah.
We have an audience.
True that. We do.
But we've raised no money. Yeah. Call us. Are you looking for a new investment?
Call us.
We are very much available and open to the idea of having a new studio at the Goldman Sachs HQ. Imagine. We have like different financial analysts on, and we'd interview them. Like,
no, and every time a celebrity was single, we'd say, "Businessman Bo, oh, yeah, get over here.
We will have a conveyor belt.
We've got a lifeline." Literally.
Okay, so that is a crazy story, and those were our stories.
Those were our stories. I feel as though you needed to know them. Now for a little TV recap.
Before the Housewives, I wanted to talk to you about SNL because I watched the season premiere with Casey Musgraves as a performer and Owen Wilson as the opener. Both of his brothers were there. I didn't know there was a third one. Luke was like smiling. It was so cute, like very cute. And Luke was actually in
a sketch,
not a live one, but they did this like Star Trek Battle of the Egos where all these billionaires are going to space to like, you know, whose dick is bigger. And Bezos was played by Owen Wilson. Someone from SNL played Richard Branson. He looked so much like him. It was
That's
crazy.
An easy one to dress
the
up
hair.
As. Yeah.
Yeah. And then someone played Elon Musk and Luke, I get them confused, was just in there, like, you know,
okay,
doing something.
Okay, cool.
But I want to talk about the sketches. It was so bad. Like, it was literally, I didn't like laugh at all. Olivia fell asleep. Like, it was really, really bad, which is crazy just for a season opener. The three new people, two of them were in a bunch of sketches and I don't remember their names, but they were pretty good. Like, they were trying harder than any of the other cast members have tried in years because they were so excited. Like, yeah, it was their first time. And they, like, nailed every single line, which nobody on SNL does. It's so frustrating. Like, Luke Wilson.
Owen.
Okay, I'm getting that confused. Owen, like, flubbed so many of his lines. But you know what I learned that I did not know that I'm not sure if you knew? Do you know that Owen Wilson, the reason why he's, like, so irrelevant, he made so much money? He was the voice of Lightning McQueen in Cars. Cars 1, 2, and 3.
Oh.
Like, no wonder why he's just, like, low-key. That's what his monologue was about. Like, I've been known to be, like, low-energy and, like, not care about anything. Well, you made $100 billion doing Cars. I wouldn't care about anything either. Cars is, like, one of the biggest franchises. And they did a sketch about Lightning McQueen where, like, Lightning McQueen becomes this, like, very non-PC, like, racist, like, car. And he's like, I'm not doing this. Like, I care so much about the legacy of Lightning McQueen. And then he, like, saw his Disney contract and he was like, I'll do it. But, like, he kept flubbing the lines. Like, the R word was in there, like, 400 times and he, like, wouldn't say it. He just, like, kept flubbing the lines. It was a really funny concept, but very poorly executed.
Oh.
It was just, it really was not good. And then, like, the saving grace was Casey. And I haven't really spoken about it because it really pained. Like, I discovered Casey Musgraves. Like, I will literally.
We know.
I will, to the death, defend, like, my queen. But this era is just not my particular favorite. I'll say that. And I'm struggling. Like, I really am. Like, I like the beat. But it's just, it's not for me. So, with love and respect.
What did she perform?
Justified. Which, to me, like, is the best song on the album, but if it was on Golden Hour, it would have been the worst song on the album. Okay. Like, that's, in my opinion, what the level of musicality is. And then it's Camera Roll, which is just not good.
Okay, so here's my thing. And Camera Roll is tough for me because it keeps getting stuck in my head. But with so many songs on the album we were listening to on this morning, I think my least favorite one is Simple Times. Just because the lyrics are very, like, 12-year-old girl, like, I'm going to the mall with my friends. Like, literal. Like,
yes,
I miss seeing my friends.
Completely agree.
And spending time together. We would have the best time.
So, like, for me, what's always set Casey Musgraves apart is her ability to, like, to write lyrics so poetically. They fit perfectly in every groove of every melody.
And everything's like a metaphor. Like,
yes,
follow your arrow. If she wrote that for Starcross, it would say,
be,
like,
yourself.
Literally.
So, I completely agree. I think that like, poetic element is just missing, and she's being very literal. Like, a song called Camera Roll is just, like, so not Casey. Like, it should have been called, like, Photographic Memory. Like, you know, whatever she would have done. Like,
yeah.
I'm just not into this era, like,
no,
at all.
The song Camera Roll, which I actually like because it's getting stuck in my head, so I don't want to bash it, but it's, like,
chronological order. Like, thank you. Yes, yeah. That's how a camera roll.
Yeah, we know.
That's how a camera roll works.
Chronological order. Nothing but torture. That song's actually pretty good. But, like, there's just... It's just not my favorite. And... Yeah, that's. I'll just leave it at that.
That song is like an just an ad for iPhone.
Literally.
They should use it.
Totally, like an Apple commercial.
Yeah. So you click on your albums and you can zoom out.
No, literally. It's just not for me.
Don't sort by the faces.
Is that how it's, is that the lyric?
No, but like that's what she's saying.
Yeah, so.
Did you know you could use maps?
She didn't save SNL in the way that I thought she was, is what I was going to say. Are you okay?
Yeah, it's just really funny.
No, it's just not good.
That's what I've been feeling about the album. I've still been listening to it just because I like a body of work while I'm getting ready or something instead of like jumping through all my like songs. So I have been experiencing it. And there are, and I liked Starcross the song more than you did. I know people are liking Breadwinner.
Yeah, well, it just went like viral on TikTok. So people don't even know the song. They just know that one part because they're like, when you are jamming to the song, but you make, you know, $1 an hour. Like, he wants a breadwinner. That song's fine. Like, I don't know. I just feel like usually, like, I cannot be pulled away from a Casey album. I have to spend hours decoding what she means. And I just don't feel that way about this album.
Yeah.
And I thought she would, like, save the SNL episode. And honestly, it was just, like, the whole thing was just a waste of time, honestly.
Damn. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
But I want to tell you. What?
Kim is coming.
This week, I know. And you know what? Like, I'm going to be, like, without service. Like, I'm not going to be able to watch. Like.
I don't know how I'm going to stay. Actually, I stay up pretty late. I'm so excited for Kim.
SNL is so fucking late.
It's so late. It's crazy. But Kim is going to be so incredible.
And Halsey's so great. I love her.
Sure. Kim. I haven't been this excited since Elon.
Elon, yeah, no, it's really good. I'm so surprised that this wasn't the opener. You know?
I mean, maybe Kim was busy. You saw that she had dinner with Kanye. They went on a double date with the Romuluses.
No, I didn't. Tracy?
Tracy and Ron.
No, I didn't see. Ron Romulus, that's a tough name.
Yeah, they went to Nobu Malibu.
Ron Mulus.
And Kanye was
Oh, of course
there.
They did.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
You do love to see
love
it.
Love to see parents reconnecting or just co-parenting in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, happy for them. Okay, I want to just really quickly talk to you about Housewives. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but both episodes were so good. Like, okay. Potomac was just twisted. Like, they got to this house, and, like, Robin and Giselle are like, we're not coming. You invited us in a rude way. We're like, okay, bye. Like, sweet. I think they thought everyone would be like, no, please come. Everyone's like, okay. Like, no one cares.
Yeah.
The husbands came. Not everyone came. Some of them are coming later. Michael's not coming at all, and Karen's husband is coming a day later. So some of the guys were there. Mia's husband, like, is just a little wild. Like,
that's the vibe that,
yeah. And like, I really just want to defend him because, like, everyone's just like coming for Mia, but he was acting like an animal. But they just get there, and Wendy's like feeding everyone shots. So, like, by the time Ashley and Karen show up last, they're like all fucking wasted, like, especially Mia and Wendy. Mm. So things obviously get really heated between Mia and Candace, because she just keeps bringing up Mia's mom. Like, they're fighting about nonsense, and then she's like, your mom is low budget. Yeah. Your mom's ratchet. Your mom is broke, bitch. Like,
yeah.
And it's just so, and Wendy has been trying to tell Candace, like, to stop with the mom stuff because you don't know what she's been through. Like, but Candace won't even listen. She's just like, mom, mom, mom. And you know what? Like, maybe I thought Mia was wrong in the beginning, but now I don't even care. Like, it's so wrong. Candace is so below the belt. She makes it so unenjoyable to watch because you can't even get on her side at all. Because
no.
Once you start, your mom is broke, bitch. Your mom is low budget. She said it multiple times last night and the episode before. It was just so frustrating. Like,
so frustrating. She's indefensible, and yet she gets away with all
everything.
Of her terrible behavior. And even though I was making peace with Candace, it just brings you back to the Monique stuff.
Yeah, of course. And by the way, you know, you saw the scene where, like, Mia throws lettuce, of course.
Yeah.
Who threw the first piece of lettuce?
Candace.
She threw one piece, and then Mia was like, fuck that, and threw the whole platter.
Good.
Because Candace was just like, go back to your pimp, you whore. Like, she was really going so fucking below the belt.
What in the world?
And she just, like, can't get over the fact that, like, Mia and her husband met at a strip club. And, like, I don't know. First of all, who fucking cares? Like, to each their own. Two, like, it's not like Mia was hiding that, and, like, they all found out, and they're like, Mia was like, yeah. And then her husband's like, yeah, Mia still loves to go to the strip clubs. We go together. Like, I don't know, it's not what I would do, but I appreciate the confidence. Like
100%.
Candace is just like so jealous, like of so, everyone and everything.
Judgmental, small-minded. Like, I can't believe she gets away with that.
Agreed. Like, she's so condescending. Like, it was just a frustrating episode because Candace was acting like an animal. Of course, Robin and Giselle end up coming next week. You know, like, their big protest is over. And things obviously get even more heated. But what I did love was that Wendy gave everyone like a list. She said Karen and Ascala, you get to choose rooms first because we were put in the cottage. And then Ashley, you can choose the next room because, you know, you left your kids at home. And like, we're so happy you're here and we just want you to be comfortable. And she went down the line and then she was like, and Candace, you can choose last.
Who said this?
Wendy, because it's her trip.
It's her trip.
And she shoved Wendy into the cottage at the last trip.
And yeah, which is weird because Wendy and Candace are close.
Yeah. That's but so weird. Wendy was like, fuck that. But no, they are close. And you know what? Their husbands are close too. Like seeing the husbands, how they interact. Wendy's husband and Chris are really good friends.
Interesting.
So yeah.
I'm glad the husbands are there. That always makes it interesting.
Me too. It was a good episode, but Salt Lake City was so good. Like, we pick back up at the ice fishing where, like, Jen basically, like, is talking to Stuart and she, like, is just going to fake apologize to make it go. And, like, Meredith is, like, not believing it, which is everything of the sort, whatever. It was dumb. But then we meet this new woman, Angie. I didn't even know we were getting a new woman. And she meets up with Lisa. And remember that girl, Sarah Jane, who, like, keeps almost becoming a housewife? Like, she was on last season. She's friends with Lisa. She's blonde.
Maybe.
So whatever. Like, they just steamrolled over her and right into Angie, who's, like, this fabulous woman who discovered that she's cousins with Whitney because they're all related to the Pioneers. And Lisa's like so jealous that her friend of like, you know, I think like 6 or 10 years is becoming friends with Whitney, but like they're cousins and they really like each other. Like, what's the problem? So basically, Angie's having this party at her house. It's like this fabulous casino themed fundraiser for an organization called the In Circle. Her and her husband have a son who's transgender, and it's like an organization for, you know, a safe place for, it was really beautiful, like the whole thing. And the husband got choked up talking about like they left the Mormon church because like it's so unwelcoming to their son. And it was just like, it was actually really beautiful. And there was a guy there who donated $1 million. Like, it was a swanky affair. Like, this woman, Angie, is bringing us everything. She had a costume change. Her house was beautiful. It was gorgeous. But what had happened was that she had sat down with Lisa and said that she invited Whitney and Heather to her gala. And then 5 hours later, the caterer for the gala, who's really good friends with Lisa, called her and was like, we can't do it anymore. We spoke to Lisa's assistant and we can't do it. That's what they said verbatim. Like, Lisa's assistant called us. We cannot do your event anymore. So then Angie goes out to lunch with Whitney and she's like, do you think like she's like sabotaging my event because like I invited you guys? And it does sound really stupid, but like they did write in the email that Lisa's assistant called them and that's why they have to cancel. Yeah. So everyone's having fun at the party. Jen and Mary are even talking. Mary's just like so understands Jen for who she is and she's not bothering to get into it. But then Angie pulls Lisa over and it's like, I got this email from the caterer and they said that they spoke to your assistant and then they canceled. Like, what the fuck? And Lisa's just like freaking out, like literally screaming, crying. Like, and then for some reason she brings Meredith and Jen Shaw into it. Because the point is basically Lisa's mad that her friend Angie's friends with Whitney. But what she's doing right now between Meredith and Jen is the exact same fucking thing.
Right.
And it's so hypocritical. She starts like crying, freaking, screaming out. She's so wrong. She's getting caught in something. I don't know what she did with the caterer, but she's acting so guilty. So then of course Whitney's so drunk. Whitney comes in and just like sits down. And Lisa's like, what are you doing here? She's like, well, Angie's my friend. I want to make sure she's okay. And they just go off. She's screaming, crying. I want John. And remember how like Meredith was like freaking out, rightfully so, at the Jen Shaw conversation at ice fishing, and Lisa would not let her leave. Like, when she was really just clearly wanted to get out of there,
yeah,
they wouldn't let Lisa leave. And it was so everything of the sort because she got caught in some lie. I'm not sure what it is, but she got so caught. She was looking so guilty, like crying like like a 2-year-old, like, I'm here. Like, it was so amazing. And Whitney really didn't even say anything. She just like sat there and watched. But Lisa is so triggered by the presence of Whitney. Like, it's,
I don't get that at all. Whitney's so like harmless. So and the beef between them doesn't run very deep.
It's not that serious. I couldn't even tell you what it is.
Personality differences.
So they go to lunch next week, as do Jen Shaw and Brooks. Because she said to Meredith, like, I'll apologize to Brooks.
Okay.
Yeah, but so then like basically what Jen Shaw did to Meredith, she also did to Mary. Like, basically, Mary was like, we made up at the reunion, and then she posted this really mean meme, and then they showed the meme, and it was, like, a picture of, like, I don't know if it was Mary, but, like, a picture of a young girl and her grandfather, like, and it was, like, when you order, no, it was, like, just a meme, and then next to it was Mary and her husband, like, basically, like, you married your grandfather, like, right after they had made up. So Mary actually didn't really get into it. I think that she doesn't want to like keep dragging. Like she just is like hates Jen, but like is civil with her.
Yeah.
Which is really the smart way to handle someone like Jen. Yeah.
Especially since Jen will probably be out of the picture soon.
Yeah. Hopefully. So all in all, it was a good episode. Heather was like so irrelevant. And it's so crazy because like with this Jen Shaw thing, I know I'm going to turn on Heather because like the fact that she's sticking up for Jen Shaw is so losery. And also watching that episode last week where she just like groveled in that ice cube, like it was so losery. And I'm like hating Lisa right now, but knowing how she like immediately turns on Jen, like I think I'm going to have a huge. And when I was watching Lisa with these two new girls, Angie and Sarah, like talk about how much they love KFC, I'm like, I just wish Lisa could be like this all the time. Like there are qualities of Lisa that I actually really like.
I agree. And so I'm holding out hope.
Me too.
But like she needs to get off of Whitney and Heather. Like it's not a thing.
No, and she needs to get off Jen Shaw. And she does.
Yes, that too.
But like it's so mean to Meredith. And Meredith was looking, oh my God, at this event. So unbelievably gorgeous. Like I never saw an outfit so gorgeous in my life.
Wow. I'm really excited to watch. I think like I'm going to watch today. I was very much looking forward to it. I just had my reading priorities that needed to take precedence.
It was a good episode. The Salt Lake City was better than Potomac. But and then the other thing I watched is Squid Game, which is this show. It's a Korean show. It's like number one in every country in the world. And everyone was talking about it. People were like doing the Squid Games challenge on TikTok. So I was like, let me see. Me and Olivia started it. We were so confused. But it's immediately became very good. And it is a like a Hunger Games type of show, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's in Korean, but they have like English dubbed over it. But then they also have subtitles that don't match the English dubbing, and it was very confusing. So I ended up watching without subtitles and just listening to the English dubbed over, which was fine. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was really good. The ending was so fucking atrocious, and I think they're setting us up for a second season, which I'm, if it had just ended completely and like it was a mini series, I think it would have been great. A limited series, sorry, not a mini series. But the ending like really bothered me, and I thought the show was good up until that. There were a lot of really good characters and just something new, you know? I never watch anything new.
Yeah.
It was good.
I'm happy for you.
I think you'd like it. And I know Zach would like it a lot.
Oh, I'll tell him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I weirdly watched a lot of TV this weekend because I was, like, on, like...
Kaylor time.
On Kaylor time.
Yeah,
she loves... So many naps.
She does love to watch TV when she's allowed. When she's allowed.
When she's allowed.
Okay, well, thank you for summing it up for us.
It's a pleasure.
And we will see you tomorrow.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us The Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you made it to the end of this episode, congratulations. You are now a part of the Society Season 2, full of people who only listen to the end of the episode because they are true toasters. And to let us know that you've made it to the end of the episode, why don't you go drop a comment on our most recent Instagram? Make it the emoji.
The siren
emoji.
To commemorate. The longest siren of all time.
Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.